The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Banks, co-creator of Green Lantern Kyle Rayner, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast.
And three geeks.
Well, as you hear, I have a special guest that I will introduce here in a moment. I am John Orlando. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor. Welcome to episode number 335. Jason Taylor from the Three Geeks Podcast is joining me here because we have kind of a unique episode that we're going to talk about here. So, Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's good to finally be on the PVD Cast. This is my first time.
First time ever?
Yeah.
Well, as a co-host, yes, I suppose that would be accurate. I've never had a co-host, so you are the first co-host ever.
I don't think I've ever been on PVD Cast.
I'm pretty sure you have.
I'm pretty sure I haven't.
Yeah, so it's part of Remake Revolution, I'm sure of one.
A re-air, but no, like never like officially.
Okay, well, welcome.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're here because we're going to talk a little bit about a trip that we made a couple weekends ago, Memorial Day weekend to be exact.
I've actually never hung out with a podcast purveyor.
Well, look at this. You could check that off your bucket list.
I will.
So we went downtown Columbus, Ohio, Memorial Day weekend to the Fanboy Expo, which is a comic book convention here in town. In fact, it was the first time that they've ever had one here in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah. For those folks that don't know, Columbus used to be a Wizard World town where Wizard would come once a year and do their big show. Over the last, I'd say 2 years, 3 years?
Since the COVID stuff.
Yeah, since right before COVID, Wizard stopped coming to Columbus because they felt it wasn't, I guess, marketable or wasn't profitable or anything along those lines. And following the pandemic, Wizard has announced that they're no longer, they're no longer in business, period. But
yeah, they merged.
They merged.
They have the same staff, but
okay.
Yeah, they merged with another con.
Okay. But yeah, they're pretty much kind of out of business.
Yeah.
So Fanboy comes to town and we definitely wanted to check it out. And so we went down Friday evening we went down.
Friday evening, yeah.
And then we spent most of the day Saturday down there. It was a 3-day event. We got to talk to some cool people. Dave Foley from News Radio. And Kids in the Hall, we got to talk to him for a moment, which you'll hear that conversation on this episode. Sean Patrick Flannery, we got to speak to, and actually he made fun of me, which
yes.
made your night.
Made my day, because John is one of the most prepared human beings I have ever met in my entire life. And we three geeks always try to play a game with John. Like whenever he's a guest, we don't give him any topics because we don't want to give him time to prepare. So John will just prepare everything before he comes on. Like he'll look at all of the geek stuff, or he'll prepare his own stuff and bring it on and say, hey guys, I got this to talk about. But we even doing interviews, like when we did Wizard World, we'd always try to last minute. Hey, John, last minute, we got this interview. And he always came prepared. And he was prepared for this one as well. But Sean Patrick Flannery actually called him out for being unprofessional. And I laughed my ass off.
I did not fully research his new film project, which he called me out on, which good on him, man. You know, I mean, I'm not going to say anything because he's, Sean Patrick Flannery. And he also, by the way, practices MMA, which you'll hear about. So I'm certainly not picking a fight with him or being disrespectful to a dude that could kick my ass.
Yeah,
so.
Super nice guy.
But super nice guy. We did enjoy talking to him. We talked to Olivia Hack.
Olivia Hack. So I have this thing at cons when I go. If I see somebody who's only charging like $20 for a selfie, I will usually do it because I want to give them some love. And, right. She was Cindy in the Brady Bunch films, the first Brady Bunch movie and then a very Brady sequel. And I just recently watched those. And I think that those are some of the best spoof movies out and very, very underrated films. But once I got a selfie with her, John and I got to talking with her, and she was super nice.
Yeah.
So we worked it out that we could interview her, and I had a blast talking to her. I didn't realize all the voiceover work she did until the 2 minutes I prepared ahead of time.
Right, yeah, she's done a lot of stuff, so you're going to hear that conversation. What other? I mean, we ran into a lot of independent creators as well, including Jack Wallace, good friend of the show, from Disposable Fiction Comics, and of course the Columbus Scribbler.
I had just met him for the first time.
Yeah, you had said that. You were like, hey, because he was on Remake Revolution last year.
Yeah, I mean, I've met him on the show a few times on Three Geeks, but yeah, he did, I can't remember the... He did Showgirls, which was a Remake Revolution's. It's fantastic. If you're into that sort of thing, you should check it out.
Yeah, definitely. By the way, go back in the back catalog of the Three Geeks and check that out, because Steve Steiner, Jack Wallace, against Dan and I, it was completely off the hook, crazy, and borderline psychotic. But
we also interviewed Cricket Lee from Avatar.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Cricket Super Lee. Nice young lady. Mm-hmm. There was a moment where John and I had to pause and back away from a booth. I won't get into any details here, but if you check out the PVD cast update number 2, it's a doozy.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. We'll just say that there's maybe a little bit of some controversy with that one table. We'll just leave it at that. But yeah, overall, it was fun. You know, I'm going to be 100% honest, and I hope this doesn't get me any heat or anything. But, you know, I feel like the venue was way too big for this con. I feel like, you know, Exhibition Hall D, the Greater Columbus Convention Center, I think they would have been better off being in a smaller venue because there was a lot of empty space. And look, perception is reality for a lot of people. You walk through that door and you look and you see, ooh, look at all that space in the back. That makes it seem less special than it is.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's fair, because I think Wizard World really just, it didn't leave a good taste in people's mouths in Columbus. And we'll get into that as far as attendance for the show went. But, you know, a lot of vendors and stuff were probably afraid to come back. And they probably had planned on having all that space filled out with vendors. And it just, you know, it just didn't happen.
I guess, you know what, looking at it that way, I guess you're right on that. Maybe there was a lot of people that pulled out and decided not to participate in Columbus. I don't know. As we have talked to many people who are much more knowledgeable about how the Comic-Con industry works, you know, we found out that, you know, sometimes there's just no forethought thrown into it. So that's kind of where I was getting at. I'm not saying that that happened at Fanboy Expo. I'm just saying
people don't know how to advertise in Ohio, and sometimes they don't necessarily take the time to do so. But I got to say, man, Fanboy Expo, even though there was nobody shopping, and that's unfortunate, it was the best comic book convention or pop culture convention I had been to in Columbus, probably since maybe the first Wizard World, because that was a lot of fun, or the Mid-Ohio shows that I used to go to by myself with my book bag. And I learned I cannot rock a book bag for 2 days at a con anymore.
Why?
It's freaking, my back was killing me by the end of the weekend, man. I'm not young anymore.
Well, that's why you don't carry hard covers to get signed by, you know, famous authors and artists. You know, you carry those things. You don't put them in a backpack. But, I mean, nonetheless, it was a fun weekend. We hope that Fanboy Expo comes back. Through all the positives, negatives, and whatnot, it was a good experience. And we're happy to bring you some of the interviews of some of the talented creators, actors, actresses, and whatnot that we met. All right, with that, Jason, let's take a little pause here. And we'll roll right on into some of the conversations we had at Fanboy Expo.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Three Geeks interview with Cricket Lee. How are you doing today?
What's up, Three Geeks? Good, thanks.
So the rest of the guys are going to be extremely jealous that I talked to you and they weren't here for it because they're coming tomorrow. But I want to start with Celebrity Deathmatch, that MTV classic.
Oh, my God,
what was that like?
Oh, okay. So that was my very first, like, animation job. So I was super scared. And they had already cast Demi Moore to play the part. So they didn't like her voice and brought me in. So I had to look at this teensy little Demi Moore mouth, and I had to listen for 3 beeps and then do my lines like her and match her mouth, which was really hard. But I did it, and then they hired me to come back and do Mariah Carey, which was really fun too. MTV was great to work for. It was just an all-time great
job.
Did
you say they got rid of Demi Moore to voice her own self?
No, it was someone else voicing Demi. And I don't know why they didn't.
Wow, you were better than Demi Moore. That's fantastic.
No. Someone else that was doing the Demi voice, they just didn't like. So I came in and played that part too.
Nice. So what's it like getting Avatar? Because that's a massive fan base, and it's like a huge cultural.
We didn't know, you know, we had no clue that it was going to be anything. Just like any job that you go to and book. So if I book, you know, a SpaghettiOs spot, or then I go book. Cars 3 video game. You do it, you're excited. Oh, that was so fun. You keep your script, you throw it in the trunk, and you move on to the next thing. So we didn't know at the time. And then once we did realize, we realized how precious it was and how awesome all the people that we get to work with was. And we got to record together in a studio, which is unheard of. So it was a blessing and still is.
Scott from the podcast wants me to ask you about your music career.
Yeah, I'm in a blues band. And we actually just went to Memphis. We participated in the International Blues Fest. So I love it. I love my band. It's called Cricket Creek. And we just have a blast. We do a lot of like Aretha Franklin. We'll do some Coco Taylor. But then we do like some country, like some classic rock. A lot of like Tina Turner, that old soul stuff. So it's going well.
Awesome.
I'm having fun.
Where can everybody find the music?
On Facebook. It's called Cricket Creek Band. Or they can see me, I think, on my Instagram, which is Cricket World, WIRLD. I'll usually have like links to Cricket Creek. But it's just on Facebook.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank
it's been
you.
A pleasure.
Love the geeks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing here with Nate and Lee. These guys have some awesome artwork here at the Fanboy Expo. And they also have some comics to talk about. But first, how's the show treating you guys?
Man, it's been good. It's, off to a little slow start, but people are coming in. People are spending some money, which is all good.
Yeah, this is our first time doing a show in Columbus, so we're excited to be here, hit a little bit different audience, and see what we can do.
You're Cincinnati guys, right?
Yeah, I actually just moved to Dayton, so we're both in Dayton right now.
Oh, okay.
Now we're Dayton guys.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Dayton.
We're not dating.
Yes.
We're brothers. So nothing like super weird.
Yeah. Not to derail whatever.
Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio.
You guys are like the more talented Property Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. More talented. You heard it here.
That's right. Would you do a commission of the Property Brothers? I mean, if somebody came up and said, hey.
Sure.
If somebody wanted it, yeah.
I would do anything for money. That's not true. That's mostly true. Yeah. That's not all the way true.
What is probably the most popular commission that you guys do?
A lot of my clients go for the busty ladies, so that's what I do most. That's what people pay me to do the most.
Okay. How about you, Nate?
For commission work, I'd say it's really a mixed bag. I've done things as random as like... now I can't remember his name. Kronk or whatever from The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know his name, but I know who you mean.
You
okay.
Know. Yeah.
I was like, really? Huh? I mean, yeah, I'll do that. Mostly superhero stuff for me, I would say.
Is there ever been one where you're like, God, this is so hard, and you couldn't wait for it to be over because it was super challenging? Oh,
yes.
Nate laughs I can remember one, John.
No, I mean, I'll bring up the same one. It was because it was that guy and Squirrel Girl. And, like, with squirrels around, because I guess he's got, like, a pet squirrel in the movie or something.
Okay. Yeah. He talks to squirrels.
Like, yeah. And I was, like, trying to find that balance of my style, Emperor New Groove style, and something that works for Squirrel Girl. It's, like, so long in the sketch phase. And it's, like, I need to figure this out and just get this out there.
How about you, Lee?
Yeah, I think what I've stopped doing is... like personal likeness portraits, because those are just a lot of work.
Okay.
So that's trying to match, like, you know, you draw something, it looks cool, but then you're like, that doesn't look like that guy. Like, what am I doing here? So I stopped doing that. But yeah, those are the most challenging ones that I've had.
All right, let's talk about your comics. Lee, you have Altered Ego. Can you tell the folks a little bit about the book, just a brief summary?
Sure, yeah. Altered Ego is a comic about a woman with no powers in a world where everyone else is trying to be a famous superhero. The Kickstarter was successfully funded last year, which I'm super pumped about. This is issue one. Issue two, the art is 95% done, and I'm planning a Kickstarter for October of this year.
And Nate, you have, of course, The Wild, as you have it right there in your hands. You also have the shirt on. So tell us a little bit about that project, please.
So yeah, The Wild is a collaboration between the two of us. Lee's writing it. I'm doing the artwork for it. It's about a world of animals that's been returned to the law of the jungle after the fall of their magical kingdom. We're three issues in. The fourth issue, we're actually in the last week of a Kickstarter. So if you guys want to support, there's still a couple days to do that. We're fully funded, so everything now is just getting everybody extras, all the stretch goals. So
yeah, we've
definitely
unlocked,
excited about that.
We've unlocked two stretch goals, working on the third now, and we do have a promotion going on at the show. If you back this weekend, you get a free mini print, one of the characters. It shows you back and you get a free mini print.
And Nate's got examples right here.
He's got the mini prints right
there
here.
You go.
So we've got the main heroes of the wild. You can pick your favorite if you support.
Cool.
Yeah.
So just go to Kickstarter.com and look for The Wild, spelled
W-Y-L-D.
All right.
You can also, any of our social media, that's our link. Lee Exifer, Nate Exifer. We're on all the main social media.
Instagram, cool. Twitter, Facebook, anything.
Okay. MySpace? Oh,
no,
never mind.
MySpace.
My bad. Never mind.
We've had.
We have that. He's best for MySpace.
All right, guys. Thanks very much for sitting down and chatting with us.
Yeah, thank
absolutely.
You guys.
All right. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing here with Manny. Manny, you are from...
I'm the creator of Heroineburg. It is a live-action superheroine of video series and comic book series based in a fantastic version of Pittsburgh, PA, the Steel City.
So you mentioned to me yesterday when we first met, you were talking that originally Heroineburg was a video project, correct?
Well, it still is.
It still is, yes. But
it started as a TV show and became a comic as well. So that's the opposite of some other things.
Why go that route, if I may
Well,
ask?
So I found out that there were a lot of interesting superhero projects being made, like low budget-wise, and I was influenced by them to create one of my own.
Okay.
And, you know, people couldn't really do that until they had DSLR cameras and all that. So this is stuff that's been happening over the past 20 years, shall we say. But a lot of it was influenced by the same things I'm influenced by, 1970s and 1980s TV shows. And I came to enjoy superheroines from that era. And so we're talking about Isis, Wonder Woman, Electra Woman and Dinah Girl, Bionic Woman, the Red Sonja movie, and then later on stuff from the 90s like Buffy or Black Scorpion. So that's the kind of stuff that influenced me back then. And then I saw some people were making low-budget stuff like that now, so I wanted to do something that would incorporate a Pittsburgh theme and have a lot of influences that I grew up with, like DC and Marvel characters. I'm very influenced by George Perez and John Byrne, like She-Hulk, New Teen Titans, stuff that came out in the 80s when I was reading comics. Came back to comic books around 2014 and 2015, discovered these low-budget series as well, and as a result decided to do something myself.
All right, so just run down real quickly. If somebody picks up an issue, what can they expect?
So with the comic book, it is an all-female universe in Pittsburgh. The thing that you could compare it to most directly would be the comic book Femme Force, which has been around since the 80s, still exists. That's based in a fantastic version of Orlando, Florida, and we're based in a fantastic version of Pittsburgh. So we're closest to Femme Force, but that's an indie comic. Maybe some people don't know about it. But it's been going on for a long time. And the guy who creates it, Bill Black, is a friend of ours now. So they would expect what I call it is action, adventure, romance, and drama in the finest spandex and capes.
Okay.
So it's meant to be campy. It's meant to be action-packed. It's meant to be sexy. We spare no expense.
Okay.
As they say in Jurassic Park.
Gotcha. Now I'm going to move on down to Grant, correct?
Right. My name is Grant Lankard.
So Grant, what's your role in this media empire, so to speak?
So these are my comic books here. Beowulf is the story of the legendary dragon slayer reincarnated as a 30-something slacker. And his sidekick is a cat with magic powers. Then I also did this horror anthology. I don't know why I'm pointing to the comic
that's
book.
That's okay.
It's audio only. Memoirs of the Morbid is a horror anthology in the style of Tales from the Crypt or Vault of Horror or classic EC comics like that. Then I also have Lines and Squiggles. This is more of a comedy anthology.
Why did you decide to reimagine Beowulf?
So when I was a kid, my parents had this book of fairy tales, and Beowulf was the story that kind of spoke to me, mainly because it already kind of sounded like a comic book. I saw a lot of like parallels between him and, you know, the comic books that I was reading as a kid, and I thought that it would make for a great comic book.
Cool. Where can folks find information about where they can get all of these books or follow you on social media or whatnot?
So if you go to monarchpublishing.net, you can sign up for a free sample of Beowulf, and you'll be signed up for my newsletter, so you'll know when new issues come out.
Cool. Manny, how about you?
So you can go to, we call it Heroineburg because we want to emphasize the female nature of the, we don't just call them heroes, they're heroines, right?
Yes.
And so Heroineburg is spelled H-E-R-O-I-N-E. B-U-R-G-H, as in Pittsburgh. So everything on the net that is spelled like that is ours, heroineburg.com, and then our, you know, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, and everything takes you back to heroineburg.com, where you can download the episodes, and you can buy the comics, or you can get the comics at about 200 stores in North America. We have a list on the website.
Cool. Guys, thanks so much for spending a few minutes out of your day to chat with me. All right, I am standing here with Will of Shire. Will, how you doing, man?
Good, thanks.
Is this your first time here in Columbus?
First time in Columbus, yep.
Okay, how's the show going for you?
Good, fun, exciting, meeting a lot of good people.
And you're from way up northeast Ohio, correct?
Yeah, 3 hours away.
Yeah. You don't like the winter, do you?
I don't like the, well, I like the winter, I don't like the snow, you know? Yeah, it's balance.
It's a balance because you get lake summer. Effect yeah. snow.
Yes. I'm right on the border of where the lake effect stops. So, you know, it's one of those things where we get dumped on a mile down the road. They have nothing.
And you're out there shaking your fist at Mother Nature. Ah! Yeah. All right, well, let's talk a little bit. You're an author. You're an artist. You got a couple of different books out here. So let's talk about some of the books, if you will.
Yeah, so I started in 2018 with Fury. It's a urban fantasy series about a character named Hunter comes back from a botched theft overseas, finds out his partner took a job with a leprechaun, and a job's to hunt that unicorn on fire that's going around killing people and destroying things. Mm-hmm. And after that book, it spawned into a series. It was supposed to just be Fury, and then I've got about 7 books in the series so far.
Wow, okay. Has there been one that seems to garner more attention or more sales than the others, or are they all pretty equal?
Pretty equal. A lot of times I bundle them together. So okay. People will see Fury or one of the other books, and they'll just be like, hey, bundle the books together. I'll read them all. But Fury, from an eye-catching standpoint, and with the sign there and the cover, people see the unicorn on fire. That's what draws them to the table.
You also state that you have a huge interest in the paranormal. Can you talk a little bit about that? I'm just gonna leave it as that. I don't think I can do justice to describe what you talked about when we first met. So you want to just fill in the folks how the paranormal kind of impacts you and your life?
Yeah, so I'm an intuitive and an empath. I experience the paranormal, supernatural on an everyday basis. To me, it's natural and normal. There's no para or super to it. Everybody has abilities to see what, you know, many call invisible people or invisible friends, whether they're fae folk like brownies, gnomes, goblins, or Sasquatches, ETs. They're all around us every day, and I've been experiencing since I was a child. And a few years ago, some of the beings came to me and said, hey, we want you to write our books and our stories to help people who are experiencing more, because there are more people in the world that are having these experiences, especially with UFOs, as you can see with in the news and stuff, they're talking about UFO disclosure and these different things. What I do is I talk about my life and try to help people understand that, one, it's real, two, there are many different ways to experience reality, and that, three, you're not crazy. You may see something, you may see a Sasquatch in the woods, you may see a UFO in the sky. People can dismiss you, but just because they're dismissing you does not mean it wasn't real. So that's the focus of my work, is to bring to light that supernatural, paranormal, or natural and normal, in that people, when you're experiencing something, not just to dismiss it outright.
Well, where can folks find you on the internet to keep tabs on you, to order your books, et cetera, et cetera?
Willowshire.com. And Instagram @awakenwithwillow.com.
Okay. Well, Will, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing here with Jordan. And Jordan, tell us a little bit about the company that you're representing down here.
Yep, so I'm with Rookie Mage Games. We are a party game company that's here in Columbus. We have an office down in Pickerton, and we've got four games that we have available here at the show. We have two games that are coming out this summer, and then we also have a new Kickstarter that will be coming out in fall.
Well, let's, of course, in the minute I start talking, the public address announcer has to start. This always happens to me. Let's talk about the card games that you have here.
Okay. So the first one we have is Don't Get Stabbed. This one was actually on Kickstarter a couple years ago. And now selling on Amazon. This one kind of tries to recreate like a horror movie experience where you have one player that's the killer, the other players are the victims trying to escape. And that one's really a great game for just kind of sitting around with your friends, chilling out. It's something that's easily picked up. You can figure it out in 5 minutes. It's simple enough where drunk people can do it. That's kind of one of the rules of when I create games of like, if you were trashed and you can't play, it's too complicated for just a rule, so I got to change it back.
What about The Unseen?
So The Unseen is a social deduction game about a cult taking over a town. One of the players is set up as the cult leader, and they brainwash some of the other players. And they're trying to take over the town, and then the other villagers are trying to figure out who the cult leader is so they can execute him by the end of the game.
And you mentioned that this is a little more a kid-friendly game, but yes. Zombies with pizza.
Yes, zombies want pizza. This is a game I made because my nephews were mad that they weren't allowed to play the other two games because they were too mature for them. So I made this. So what it is you get a bunch of like ingredient cards, and they're like gross ingredients like garbage pail kids stuff like from the 80s of, you know, chocolate covered crickets, oyster fritters, cow tongue, and you match them together to make a gross pizza. And then the person who's the zombie in the game decides which one's the grossest. So they eat that pizza, and then the other players who didn't win get eaten.
Okay, let's round out with the last couple here. We got Full of It. Can you run down how that game is played?
So this is Inappropriate Conversation Starter. So I kind of made this because whenever we do like icebreakers, that's always like, oh, what's your favorite vacation or what's your best memory? And I always thought that was boring. I like to get to the weird stuff. So I made this of like, what's the things that you've done that has made a child cry? Or where's the place, like what's the worst thing you've ever done to lie to get out of a date? So I kind of made those all together, and then I kind of made like a game version of it where like we totally encourage you to lie. If you don't have a good story about the question, totally make it up. We don't care.
All right. And last but not least, Nuns with Nunchucks.
Yep. Nuns with Nunchucks. So it's a battle game. So it's Nuns with Nunchucks and other controversial opponents. So basically you're trying to take over the world, but you don't have a big budget. So you got to take whatever's left. So you get crazy things like Abraham Lincoln's evil twin brother, Tony Lincoln. And so that's kind of like a battle game. It's for 2 to 4 players. And that one's actually going to come out on Kickstarter in the fall.
So final question, Jordan, how did you start making games? Like, what was the inspiration for doing this?
So it was literally me and a couple friends and my cousins were sitting around playing a game one night. And my cousin just literally looked over at me and she's like, you should make one of these. Literally, as I'm in the car. Really drunk, by the way. I am talking about, like, I'm going to make the game Don't Get Stabbed, and it's going to have this, and it's going to have this. And I think they didn't believe me until I showed up a week later with a prototype, and then it's all kind of just kept going from there.
Awesome. Well, you know what? I'm going to let you get back to your table here, but tell everybody where they can keep tabs on you through social media, website, yep. et cetera.
So if you go to rookiemage.com, that's got, you know, all of our available games. You can sign up there. We get 15% to email subscribers off on all new games when they get launched. And then, of course, all of our stuff's on Amazon as well.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another 3Geeks interview. I am joined today by Olivia Hack. Olivia, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was so excited to see her here because I didn't know she was here. And me and my girlfriend and my daughter just watched the Brady movie.
Oh, boy.
So it was super exciting. But you got your start. The first movie you did was Star Trek Generations.
That was the first movie I
did. What was that experience
like? I think it was 10 years old. Oh, so amazing because I loved watching Star Trek Next Generation. And so, yeah, to book that part and then to get to work with Patrick Stewart and everything was amazing. And super cool. We actually shot a long time on that because they ended up not liking the first time and then reshooting the whole thing a few months later. So it was really, really fun.
They need to bring you back in Picard.
I know. I'm ready.
They do. It's crazy. But what was it like getting the Brady Bunch movie? Like, did you know at the time how big the Bradys were?
Yeah. I mean, of course, I'd heard of the Brady Bunch. It was on in syndication and all that. And then Yeah, I mean, then when we booked it, they sent us all the, back in the day, VHS tapes to watch and all that. And so then to watch all that and to step on the set for the first time, because it was so perfect, you know, it was surreal. It's very, very cool.
Was the lisp hard to do?
No, you can lisp anytime. You just put your tongue on the front of your teeth.
So did you get to meet Elizabeth Olsen? In preparation?
Susan Olsen. It's okay. There is another famous Olsen. I did. She actually shot scenes in the movie that were cut out. And then just a couple weekends ago, I was at a con with her in Las Vegas. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, super fun.
Yeah, Florence Henderson's cameo is my favorite as a grandma.
It's really, really. And we, again, we had a different ending for that. And then they brought her in to shoot that, like, last minute. Yeah.
Gary Cole as the dad was brilliant.
Gary is brilliant. He's a brilliant actor, yeah.
But you've gone on to a lot of voiceover stuff. What's that experience like for you?
It's great because you don't have to memorize lines. No, I mean, I love doing voiceover. I've been really fortunate and gotten to work on some awesome shows. And yeah, it's just voiceover's a dream.
Okay, we are a geek podcast, so I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about your time working on Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars, yes, Clone Wars. Clone Wars is super cool, and that arc is super cool. Because it's the first time we learn in the Star Wars universe how lightsabers are made. And that was supposed to be its own separate spinoff. And then Disney bought it and canceled it. But it's really like a cool standalone arc because it was what they call like a backdoor pilot. Yeah.
That's awesome. And then Scott from our podcast wanted me to ask you about Hey Arnold. He says that's your favorite voiceover role.
It's my favorite. Yeah, well, because I was a kid when I did it. So it's like it's everyone's childhood, but it's my childhood too. And I just think that show has such a good heart. Super ahead of its time. I love Hey Arnold. I just think it like the way it teaches life lessons. I don't know. It's great. Yeah, it's a great show.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you.
All
right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing here with Sean Patrick Flannery. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
How's the con treating you?
It's killer.
What's it like to be two very iconic roles, or excuse me, to have two very iconic roles, and of course Connor McManus from Boondock Saints, and of course young Indiana Jones.
The best young Indiana Jones.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you very much. Well, I would say, just to be employed in this industry is pretty mind-boggling. You know, coming from Texas, I never thought I'd get a job in the acting industry. I moved out there to be a writer. I felt pretty certain that I could write and, you know, save my money and end up producing a play, which I did, but I never thought I would get a job in the acting world, so it kind of blew my mind. And it's not lost on me to this day. It still kind of blows my mind that people pay me to do some shit that I would do for free. Don't play this tape back and let them know that I would do the shit for free, but it is. It to this day, it's kind of bizarre. Because I've had real jobs in my life. I changed the deep fryer Church's Fried Chicken. I moved pianos for Atlas Van Lines. I actually dug ditches. I put culverts under driveways. So the fact that they pay you to go and say words in front of a camera blows my mind.
Can I ask, what was it like working with Troy Duffy on Boondock Saints?
You know, I mean, I've known that cat since 98. You know, his bedside manner. Look, like everybody that's ever achieved anything in their life has broken some, you know, smashed some eggshells, and he's no different. You know, I've gotten along with him though, and other people have as well. But, you know, even myself included, you're going to find people on both sides of the aisle that are like, I hate that motherfucker. That guy can't act to save his life. And then you're going to find people that go, everything he's ever done should get an Academy Award. Well, maybe not that, but, you know, there's two sides of every coin.
I gotcha. How's the jiu-jitsu going? Still competing in that discipline?
No, I quit. I gave it up, and I started Aikido.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Fuck off. Aikido. Fuck out of here. Yes, no, it's going great. I mean, I have an academy on my property in Houston, train all the time. Class is going on tonight. Okay. When I'm out of town, one of my, a purple belt of mine is teaching class. So it's a huge part of my life, like a huge part of my life.
So do you have any things coming up? Any roles that you'd like to discuss? Any projects that are in the works or anything?
Well, I do have a film coming out called Frank and Penelope. It opens in theaters a week from today. Way to do your homework, bro. Yeah. Way to really look into that and do that research.
Is there any social media that folks can follow and keep tabs on you?
Yeah. Yep. I got Instagram. I got Facebook. I got Twitter. I got all of that. And you know, people think that there's like a. People think that actors have somebody doing their social. Man, I don't know any actor that has somebody. I would imagine Tom Cruise does, but ain't fucking where near. You know, it's like I don't know another actor that has somebody doing their own shit. So I respond to all my own messages myself. It's, okay. And I get a kick out of it. Man, it's like getting feedback directly from people that watch your stuff. You know.
Mm-hmm. So what are those social media outlets? Is it
my Instagrizzle is SP Flannery.
Okay.
At SP Flannery. Flannery with one N. My Facebook is my name, Sean Patrick Flannery, and my Twitter is Sean Flannery. Okay. It's all just me.
All right.
If you Google Sean Patrick Flannery's Instagram, it'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
And the same thing on Facebook and Twitter.
All right.
We need to get the hashtag Flannery for Indy 6.
Is that what Indy they're up to?
Six?
No, they just done 5. Oh. And Harrison Ford is done. So you'd be the perfect replacement.
Oh, I think they'll probably get. Didn't they get Shia LaBeouf to do it?
I hope they don't.
Well, he was in. He was in what? The last one.
He isn't full. 4. He's not coming back.
Oh, he's not.
No.
Huh. Well, they'll probably get Robert Pattinson, the Batman guy, right? Yeah.
Maybe.
He's next for, yeah, he'll probably get. He'll probably do Indiana Jones.
Yeah, gotcha.
Young buck like Robert Pattinson.
All right, well, thanks a lot. We really appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your time.
You're very welcome, brother.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am standing here with Mr. Dave Foley. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm very well, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Absolutely fantastic. Has the convention been treating you okay?
They've been very nice, yes.
Excellent. Most people, probably especially in the United States, know you from your time on news radio as Dave Nelson.
Yes, that's probably the case.
What was the experience like working on news radio?
It was one of the best of my career, I'd say. So, yeah, it was an amazing group of people in the cast. One of the best casts ever put on TV, I think, if you ignore me. And a great writing staff, too, you know. So we had a hell of a lot of fun making that show.
Is it true that a lot of the writers, and I'm not sure, I forget who was writing at the time, that they kind of just used a lot of you for Dave Nelson?
They took stuff from all of our lives and put it into the show, but Dave Nelson was definitely a mix of my personality traits and Paul Sims, who created the show.
Okay.
So basically, whoever the writers wanted to make fun of more that week, they would put it into Dave Nelson's life.
Okay, gotcha. You've probably been asked this a million times, but what was your favorite character to play on Kids in the Hall?
Oh, on Kids in the Hall. You know what? I really like doing Mr. Heavyfoot.
Okay.
A lot. It was the dumbest thing, but I like doing it.
Okay. How many cups of coffee have you had today?
Today's? Oh, not nearly enough. yeah, I think I've only had about 3 cups of coffee today.
Okay.
So I'm way below my par.
That's what I understand, yeah.
Yeah.
Last question. If I venture up to Canada, where should I go? Where should I visit? If I'm going to Canada, give me one or two places I have to see.
Well, places that you have to see. Well, Niagara Falls.
Okay.
I know it's a cliche, but it's pretty beautiful.
Okay.
I would go to Niagara Falls if I was you. And that covers my end of Canada.
Okay.
And other than that, go to Vancouver and to see the mountains.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Got any projects come up that you'd like to plug real quick?
Just right now, just the new Kids in the Hall show.
Okay.
It's running on Amazon Prime right now, 8 new episodes.
There you go. Where can folks find you online, social media,
Twitter,
stuff like that?
Twitter, Dave S. Foley on Twitter.
There you go. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Cheers. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jason taking over the PVD cast.
That's right.
Those interviews were a blast to do. They were a blast to re-listen to. I forgot how much fun that weekend was.
Yeah, it was a blast. I mean, you know, like we said, there were some positives, some negatives with the show. But nonetheless, the bottom line is we enjoyed ourselves. You know, it didn't seem to be a chore to be there. We had some great conversations. We, you know, chatted with many, many folks down there, as you heard. And we even ran into some people that didn't appear on the podcast. And that was cool, too. You know, overall, yeah, it was a blast. As you said, I'm just going to steal your line. It's a blast.
I got to say hello to Kane Hodder, who plays Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And he was super nice. It was a very brief run-in, but super nice guy.
And I got to say hello and thank you to the Total Package Lex Luger, who was down there as well. I got to speak to him for a moment. Unfortunately, you know, one thing that we didn't mention, there were many WWE superstars down there, but you had to get clearances to talk, and I did not. You know, I'm usually prepared, but I'm not prepared enough to get clearances from Titan Tower, apparently. So
come on, man.
I know.
Vince McMahon?
I do. I wish I did. I wish I knew him, but no, I don't. Anyways, true story. On trips to Rhode Island, I've driven past Titan Tower a couple of times. Nice. It was kind of cool.
And try to get in?
I didn't stop and try to barge in and hand my resume to Vince. No, I didn't. All right, with that, Jason, tell folks where they can find the Three Geeks Podcast.
Go to 3geeks.ninja. Follow us on all of the socials at 3 Geeks Podcast. And anywhere that you find podcasts, follow me personally at 3 Geeks J. It embarrasses my daughter, but I still love doing it, where you can find me posting selfies almost daily.
And I think at this time I should tell you that you can find the PVD cast at pvdcast.com or through those usual podcasting outlets. Sometimes you have to go into the search and put in PVD cast and put my name after it, and you should be able to find it. And for both Jason and myself, people, if you listen to an episode, no matter if it's one episode or a dozen episodes, you have to rate and review. I mean,
rate and review.
Yeah, you got to. That helps us out tremendously as podcasters. It moves us up the scale. You know, it lets those outlets know that you're listening, and it's super important. So please rate and review. And of course, also subscribe so that you never miss an episode of our podcasts. Also, too, we haven't plugged Matt Talk, which is the only Matlock themed podcast on the face of the planet. Jason and I sit down the second and fourth Mondays of every month. We watch an episode of Matlock. We then talk about it, joke about it, have a good time. Hopefully we won't get into too many arguments over whether we like an episode or not.
No, I think it's only happened once, very recently.
Very recently. Hint, hint, wink, wink, people. Yeah. Keep an ear out for that.
Some opinions are right, some are wrong.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to say whose is whose, but anyways. Now, hey, we aren't saying whose is wrong. Anyways, and that can be found over at Matt Talk through Anchor FM or all those other podcasting places. And you can also find us online, MattTalk_podcast on Twitter and at Matt Talk Podcast on Facebook. And with that, Jason, should we just go ahead and wrap things up?
Let's do it.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks. And we will chat at each and every one of you later.
Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe
and healthy.
And healthy. Definitely stay safe and healthy.
Indeed. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.